Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hour number two, you're right. Actually, just a quick reminder for everyone, we do 4 hours of live radio every Saturday morning, 2 hours starting at 8 to 10, obviously, here on KTTH 770 on your AM dial. But then right after that, from 10 to noon, we are on another station. We won't promote specifically that station, but you can find us by going to our website, lmclinic.com, and push the podcast button at the top of the page. And it will show you where we are for all 4 hours every Saturday morning. And the other good thing, maybe you heard some things during this first hour that really interest you. And maybe you're thinking your spouse needs to hear it, or your cousin Fred, or Aunt Sally, or your folks, or something. Well, when you go and push the podcast button, it will also show you and list out hour by hour, all of our previous shows. So if there is something today, for example, by Monday, we should have it up on our website, lmclinic.com. Push the podcast button. This hour that you just heard, 8 to 9 on KTTH, will be listed out. You just click on it, and you can listen to the hour. And a lot of people are doing that. In fact, I just saw the numbers. It's kind of impressive. Lots of people go back and go to our website to get this kind of information again. So there you go. 4 hours every Saturday, and you can repeat it as often as you'd like. All right, Jerry, I tell you, I've never seen such a focus as what we've seen here. People that are trying to get specific information that they obviously can't get from their primary care physicians. They just can't get it.
Unfortunately, that's true.
In fact, I had a patient just this last week who happens to be a really good friend, said that she took our lab report to her doctor, to her gynecologist. And the gynecologist was very pleased, looked through it, and said, oh, this is very interesting. Oh, this is very interesting. And then the gynecologist said, I have no idea what these other tests are. None. No idea.
But they're not in his field. Yeah, I mean, he's a gynecologist. His focus is reproduction and cancers of the reproductive tract. I mean, that's really what gynecologists do. And, we are looking at aging, the normal but undesired changes of aging. And we are looking at the whole body, not just the reproductive, female reproductive tract, but, you know, the normal changes of female reproductive tract with age are not all good. And so we address things that are normal, but aren't good. And that's a mistake we have made as a society. We interchange the words normal and good. You go to your doctor and the doctor says, oh, your test is normal. And your immediate thought is, oh, good, I'm not sick. But all normal means is your body is falling apart at the same rate as everybody else's. Yeah, that's what normal is.
That is true.
Yeah. You know, and so normally your brain slows down, your memory goes bad, your problem solving abilities decrease. Your heart does not pump blood as efficiently as it used to. Your lungs don't work as well as they did. Your bones are getting thinner. Your joints are wearing out. Your gut is not working as well as it used to. You can't run as fast, jump as high. You get tired faster. Your sex drive is fading away, and all of that is perfectly normal, but none of that is good. There's a difference. Normal is great when you're 18. Normal sucks when you're over 50. And so our goal is not for you to be normal. Our goal is for you to be as fast, strong, lean, smart, and sexy as humanly possible, as long in life as possible. That's what we're shooting for.
So let me just say this. It sounds a little crass, and forgive me for being so bold.
Well, go ahead. I want to hear you be crass.
Well, okay.
I do it all the time and naturally, so I want to hear it from you.
That's right. My point is, if your doctor, you'll agree with this, Jerry, if your doctor tells you, oh, well, that study or this or that is normal for your age, and he just leaves it at that, as if, well, it's normal, what next? You need a new doctor.
Well, you can keep that doctor for your illnesses.
Well, that's true.
But you need a different doctor to solve your being normal, to make you better than normal.
Yes.
Okay. Look, I'm 73 years old. Normally, I would poop out at 15 push-ups. I knock off 50 before breakfast every morning. Normally, I would slowly walk a couple of miles a day if I could do that. I run 4.2 miles in the morning, and I recover in 10 minutes. Okay. Normally, I could maybe bench press 100 pounds. I bench press 220 pounds. Okay. Normally, I would have sex once a month. Ha! My wife would never put up with that.
Let's just leave it there, shall
yes,
we?
The reality is, normal is not my goal for myself.
Yeah.
Normal is not my goal for my patients.
Yeah.
Okay. I want patients to be strong, fast, lean, smart, and sexy. I want them to have low risk of cancer, low risk of dementia, low risk of heart disease. Yes, sooner or later they're going to die. That's because we are mortal. But I want it to be as far down the road as practical. And I want every day between now and that death day to be as full of joy and robust enthusiasm and just plain happiness in your life as possible. But that means we need to get rid of the pain and the stiffness and the fatigue and the depression and the ennui that comes with age.
You're basically, a lot of what you've just described is prevention, isn't it?
When people ask me what we do and say, oh, you run an anti-aging clinic, and I always laugh. I say, no, I cannot make you 1 hour younger. I do not warp space and time. Okay? We are the ultimate preventive medicine clinic. I want to prevent those perfectly normal but undesirable changes of aging that lead you down to disability and feebleness and death. That's my goal.
And with that in mind, that, again, the first step for those of you who are going to be saying, well, okay, I'm going to take a first baby step. This is why, Jerry, we came up with almost 2 years ago the free health analysis appointment. Because we made a calculation. In fact, I remember when we sort of tripped over, not just sort of made the change in our mind, we realized that smart people are going to want to get the basic information. And if they want the basic information, they'll be able to make a good decision about what to do. That's why we do the free health analysis and the two tests. And we even incentivize you a little bit with $100 of free longevity supplements or your choice of the two fitness books and the fitness bands. But if you are there now and you finally realize, yes, I need help beyond the typical insurance doctor mode or structure, make one of those appointments. Go to our website, lmclinic.com, and push the button right in the middle of the page there and schedule your free appointment. And when you come in for the appointment, you can decide if you want the free $100 of supplements or the two fitness bands. Okay, and the fitness books and the fitness pants. All right, let's go to Marysville and talk to Dennis. Hello, Dennis.
Howdy, Dennis. What can I do to help?
Hi, gentlemen. I'm a 79-year-old guy, and typical problems my age, I've kind of wore out my shoulders, get a lot of pain, and I've had the steroid injections, and they say basically I'm through with that and can't go any farther. And so one thing happened recently. You've talked about a supplement called curcumin being a good thing. And we were shopping, and Qnall makes a solution of curcumin. Mm-hmm. And we bought it, and you take one teaspoon of it a day. And so my wife and I tried it, and I took one teaspoon, and it was like prepping for a colonoscopy. It just blew me out. And,
yep.
And, yeah, it's funny, but if not... And,
no, I understand. It's just that I've heard this more than once, so I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I waited about a week. I wasn't sure that that's what caused the problem. And my wife was taking it every day. It has no, you know, it doesn't yes. bother her whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And so then about, say, almost 10 days later, I tried it again, had the same effect. And it actually not only blew me out really bad, it raised my temperature over 100 degrees. And so I was wondering if Doc would have any ideas why I, you know, one person can handle that stuff and I couldn't.
Yeah. Well, we are dramatically different on a genetic standpoint, and we have different bugs in our guts. You know, this is part of the human variation. You've heard me say at least 1,000 times on this show that anything strong enough to help is strong enough to hurt. That is my first rule of medicine. Okay. Nothing works the same for everybody. It just doesn't. The curcumoids, the active ingredients in curcumin, typically only a small percentage of them are absorbed into the bloodstream, and the rest stays in the bowel and goes right on through. Now, for the non-lipid forms, the forms of curcumin that are not attached to a lipid envelope, that amount staying in the gut is usually considered a good thing because it decreases inflammation in the bowel. And there are studies showing that it actually lowers the risk of colon cancers, which is, you know, really neat. But if your problem is to try and decrease joint pain, you don't want it to stay in the bowel. You want it to be absorbed into the bloodstream so that it circulates to those joint tissues. And so you need a lipophilic form, a form that's actually in a little fatty envelope that gets across the membranes more efficiently and into the bloodstream. Your wife apparently absorbs that lipophilic form much better than you do. Yours stays in the gut, and it's acting as an irritant. And all I can tell you is you probably should not use curcumin. your wife is probably going to do fine with it.
I noticed on a label it also has black pepper in it, and I know that could be intense.
Yeah. Piperine, there's a black pepper compound called piperine that actually increases absorption of the curcumoids by 3 to 4-fold. So adding black pepper to it is there to help you absorb it better. That's why that solution. If you're going to take a pill form, we want a lipid form. If you're using the liquid form, they have to add the piperine to it. So whether you're sensitive to the piperine or the curcumin, I can't tell you from the history. But obviously one of those things is bothering the heck out of your gut. For you, right. I would use other polyphenols. I would try things such as high-dose resveratrol. See if that gives you better relief from your joints without bothering your gut as much.
I tried the resveratrol, and it has a similar effect, though not as bad.
Yeah, so the polyphenols in high doses are just irritating your gut, period. So, you know, either right. one of them is, yeah. But you can try a lower dose and see if a lower dose helps. You know, for it comes to the resveratrol, we make two different strengths, a 200 milligram and a 350 milligram one. Yep. Me, I use two of the 350s in the morning and one at night, so I'm getting 1,000 milligrams a day. For you, 200 a day might be too much. So
it's just a matter of trial and error. Pete sells, I know it has a little bit of curcumin in it. Would that be too much?
Well, it's a much lower it's a much lower dose than you're getting, so you could try one packet a day. And what you're talking about is called relief factor, and it contains resveratrol, curcumin, omega-3s, and icarin, those four things. The dose of each one is pretty modest compared to the, you know, the big doses of resveratrol like I was talking about. I think it's got like 165 of resveratrol total in a packet. So instead of using two and three packets a day, you might try one packet a day.
Yeah, see how it goes.
And see if that if your gut handles that okay.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I think I'm going to give that a try. Also, I'm going to try Dr. Dan Nelson also, see if there's another step since I can't. Steroids anymore.
Right, yes. And actually, the steroids, while they decrease the inflammation, can actually accelerate the degeneration within the joint. So, which is one of the reasons you don't want to use steroids very often. They're wonderful, terrible drugs. You know, they decrease pain, they decrease inflammation, but they accelerate degeneration. So,
right.
Let Dan take a look and see what he can do to maybe get you, shift you so that you start producing some repair in those joints. I can't promise it will, but it works for a lot of people, so it's worth a try.
Yep. Hey, thanks, Dennis. We appreciate your call.
Okay. Take care, sir. Bye-bye.
Yeah, and for those of you maybe in a similar situation with pain and different things, you just heard about Dr. Dan Nelson. Well, give him a call for crying out loud. It makes really good sense. 425-823-4000 for Dr. Dan Nelson. He's in Totem Lake with Pro Ortho. If you're dealing with any kind of pain, that's what he does. He's a pain specialist. 425-823-4000. We'll be right back. Minutes past the hour here on Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Pete Talbot. I've got Dr. Jerry Mixon, the founder, chief medical officer of Longevity Medical Clinic. And I've done it again. I've offered the free health analysis appointments without giving you a toll-free number because there's about 5 or 10% of you who don't have computer access, and that's okay. So my apologies. Yes, if you want to make a free appointment, you need to do so soon. But we've opened up a bunch of them right through the middle of October. So that's good. We've got like 10, 12, 13 of them in each of our three clinics. So now's the time to do that. But if you don't have access online, you call 866-86-YOUNG. 866-86-YOUNG. There you go. Let's go to Edmonds and talk to Leo. Leo, welcome to the program.
Hello, Leo.
Hello.
How can we help, sir?
Well, I was wondering about the cell phone called Super Beats. If it does any good or if there's any harm in taking it.
No harm.
Hello?
Hello, yes. No harm, except maybe to your pocketbook. Are you hearing me? Everyone else is.
I'm hearing you, yes.
All right. Okay. You know, beets are very rich in compounds that increase nitric oxide production. And nitric oxide is a compound that dilates our blood vessels and provides, you know, better microcirculation to our muscles and brain and internal organs. So, you know, there's certainly nothing wrong with beets. I like beets. I prefer to have them cooked, and I especially love them in a good Russian borscht. But, you know, if you want to buy them in a preparation such as Super Beets, there's certainly no harm. You're making the Super Beets people very rich, and which I'm sure they will thank you. But, you know, they, it is a very easy way to get beets in your diet.
So if it's convenience you're looking for, it's great.
Well, you know,
how many beets would you eat?
Okay. Gee whiz, I've never actually quantitated the beets in borscht. I mean, I would presume that if the recipe calls for, you know, a cup and a half or 2 cups for a serving of 4 people, we're probably looking at half a cup a person. You know, this is a with chopped, diced beets. Yeah, I'm not much of a cook. I usually leave cooking to my wife. I'm what I call a survival cook. If you eat what I cook, you will survive. But I make no promise beyond that. I certainly don't promise you'll enjoy eating it.
I have such wonderful memories of beets in my childhood. My wife does not like beets, and so for 50 years, we don't eat beets. But, hey, I order them wherever I can find them.
Okay. Yeah, so, you know, super beets is just they take beets, they grind them into powder, and they pack them for you. And they come in your little packets, and they're pre-made. And, you know, you don't have to cook them. You can just mix it in your water or your juice and drink it. It's a good way to get powdered beets into your system.
Yeah, yeah.
But like I said, it's a little on the pricey side because you're taking the beets and you're processing them and packaging them and spending millions and millions of dollars a year in advertising. And all of that money has to come back. So, you know, you're paying a premium for your beets. They're dirt cheap at the grocery store. So that's all I can tell you.
You'd have to eat about a half a cup a day to get the results of out of beets.
Half a cup or so on average, sure. You know, if you can use beets instead of potatoes. You know, potatoes are
beets is not a problem there.
Yeah. So, you know, you just eat beets 3 or 4 times a week is great. You know, there are other ways to raise nitric oxide. There are some supplements that I personally like called Neo Forte that I just pop one in my mouth and let it dissolve in the morning before I run. Increases my nitric oxide level, increases my capacity to run longer. So anything that dilates your blood vessels improves function.
Neo Forte?
Yeah, Neo Forte. Yeah. It's, you know, not really. No, it's usually carried by physicians, but you know, we carry it in our clinics. I know the staff.
We have it in inventory.
We have it in inventory.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Well, you can check it out. Is it on our online?
I don't know if it's on the website or not. I know it's in the clinics. I know the doctors use it with a fair number of patients. We use it a lot in guys that are having marginal erectile dysfunction. They're not bad enough that they need to go to the Viagra and so on. Or if they use the Neo Forte, they don't need as much of the PDE inhibitors. So cuts their cost of the drugs by using the supplement.
Well, there you go, Leo. We're glad you called. Okay. Appreciate your call.
Take care, sir.
Thank you. Let's go to Las Vegas and talk with Pamela. Pamela, welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thank you.
Hello. How can we help?
Okay. Well, I wanted to start out by saying that my mother, first of all, I'm 54. My mother is 78. She just had 2 breast cancer surgeries and also removed her breast implants. She just got her, a test back that said that her cancer has metastasized into her bone. Well, I also have breast implants. I did discover that I have a mass there. But back in my 30s, I also, I guess, was maybe pre-cervical cancer because I had some groin pain and tenderness and some probably swollenness in the glands there. But I've also recently noticed that, like in my left buttock area, I'm feeling some small lumps and tissue changes. So, you know, about a year ago, I was going to get the implants taken out, and I had a mammogram. And I'm very, unfortunately, opposed to Western medicine, but I did it anyway because I was kind of caught up in the rush of getting things just getting things done and uh-huh. you know, getting it over with. And so unfortunately, while I was getting the mammogram, she had to do the right breast twice, which is where the mass was. And ever since then, I've had this tenderness, change in the breast tissue. It's swollen. And I just at the point where I just have so little faith in going that route. But I, with my seeing what's going on with my mother, you know, I just can't procrastinate on my own health any longer. Mm-hmm. My mother's going to have chemotherapy, but in a million years, I would never choose to do that because I know the process and where most people end up. And so I'm just trying to, and of course, I guess what I probably should do is come to your clinic, but I'm looking for a holistic diagnosis and then holistic treatment, because it's not enough just to go to a regular doctor who doesn't practice holistic type of curing. And it's a shame we're not supposed to use that word anymore, but aren't we supposed to be cured from all of our ailments and hope that our doctor is going to do that and not put us into treatment? So I'm at a point where I'm seeing these changes in my body, and they're sort of multifaceted. It's not just one.
Sure.
And am I putting myself at the same risk that my mother, who may have obviously had all of this for years, you know, and of course I'm afraid mm-hmm. of losing my mother, but here I am going, okay, you've got some things that need to be addressed as well. Where do you go? Where do you start? Because the regular, your old regular MD just has a protocol and a system that just is not, to me, in alignment with natural health and healing.
Okay. Well, let me make a couple of comments here. First of all, I understand your concern. You know, one of the reasons that I have both MDs and NDs, both medical doctors and naturopathic doctors in my clinics, is I like the cross-pollination. You know, I'm an MD, and so is my assistant medical director, but many of our physicians are naturopathic physicians, and their training has a little different bent. And so in my clinic, I don't care who invented it. I don't care who claims it. I just claim whether or not it works. That's all I'm really interested in. So we are a little bit unusual in our approach. I think we tend to be a little more holistic. On the other hand, we are not oncologists. Our goal, you know, is we don't treat cancers. We refer to oncologists for that. We want you to get your mammograms and so on. But in your case, it sounds like you need that to have that right breast followed up more closely, whether with an ultrasound or an MRI. But somebody needs to take a look and see, why do you have this tender area and this, you know, this mass? What is it? Has it been biopsied yet? Has anybody gone in and taken a piece of that tissue to tell us what's going on?
No, because prior to going in for the mammogram, I had no tenderness. I had no changes in the breast tissue. Yes, I could feel that there was a little something there. And I did have an exam by the plastic surgeon that said it could just be maybe some scar tissue or something like that. But it seems uh-huh. like after the mammogram, I literally was putting ice on both of my breasts and just hoping that would maybe just kind of bring some of the inflammation. But so no, I absolutely don't want, I haven't had it biopsied. I'm just so afraid of going back and repeating the same thing over and getting the same result that
okay.
I just feel like I need to go a completely opposite route. Right. Or in your case, where you take the best of medicine and incorporate the holistic side of things and put the best of everything together that's complementary and right. you know.
Yeah, that's our goal, but you had to remember that
harmony.
But our field of specialization is treating the normal but undesired changes of aging. What you're talking about here is the possibility of a malignancy, which is very different and outside of our field of expertise. But you're not going to know what that is unless somebody gets a piece of it. And that's the real world. An ultrasound will give us some information. A mammogram or a MRI, magnetic resonance imaging, will give us even more information. For the men in the audience that don't understand why she's so concerned, to do a mammogram, we basically squish the breast. You put a platform under the breast and a platform over it, and you squish the breast as flat as you can get it to do the x-rays. And especially women that have an implant, have a piece of silicon or saline-filled gel in that breast, it can be very uncomfortable and just plain hurt. And apparently she's had some residual tenderness from it, and I certainly understand that. The ultrasound and the MRI are less invasive, but they give us better information. But if there's a solid mass in there, somebody needs to know what that mass is. I mean, your mom has already got metastatic disease. It has spread from the breast out into her bones and probably remotely to multiple other organs. And with breast cancers, spread to the brain is not that unusual. So, your mom is in real trouble. And I would like you to have somebody investigate this further. And if you've got something bad growing in there, I want it out before it spreads and gets you into the kind of trouble your mom's in. And I know you're afraid, and part of that fear is you don't want to hurt, and part of that fear is you don't want bad news. But the reality is, not knowing doesn't protect you. Not knowing can result in killing you.
Back to your motto, if you don't measure, you don't know. You gotta measure. Yeah. You gotta find this out.
If you don't know exactly what you're treating, the chances of treating it effectively are very poor. And, a holistic approach still depends on knowing what the heck you're treating.
Right.
So step one, diagnosis. Step two, therapy. Go let some doctors find out what's going on. Get a firm diagnosis. Then we can worry about therapy.
And do you make recommendations, you said, to particular oncologists or other doctors so that someone is, for me, feeling like I'm going in the right direction as opposed to going around in circles with a bunch of doctors who are just going to do the same thing and the same result is going to come as opposed to, I'll just bring up Gerson, for example, where they just, they have their approach to things. Obviously, getting the diagnosis is very important, but getting the right care afterward,
yes,
that's the most important. So you can get it out of your system, and it's not spreading. So
yes, step one, though, we have to get that diagnosis. And the people that make the diagnosis are usually imaging departments and or a surgeon that does the biopsy. They may not, and practically usually are not, the people that I want to have do the therapy. But each area of medicine has their own specialty. And the imaging is step one. And then if this imaging says this is a high risk for having a malignancy, then you want a surgeon to do a good biopsy. And then once you get the diagnosis, then you want to go for therapy. So it's a three-step process. Imaging, if that's positive, biopsy, if that's positive, therapy. So three different recommendations. Any good imaging department should be able to start by finding out what's in there. So any of the major centers. Over here on the east side, we use Evergreen a lot. Overlake has got a good imaging department. Seattle's full of major hospitals.
Pamela is in Las Vegas.
Oh, Las Vegas.
That's right.
I don't know anybody in Las Vegas.
I don't think she's listening right at the moment, but blessings to you, Pam. I suggest you do what Jerry says. That is for sure. All right. When we come back, we have David from Lake Wenatchee has a question about senolytic therapy. And then
I know something about that.
I think you darn do. Definitely do. And then we've got three lines open right now. How about that? And we've got like 24 minutes left, so you need to call right now. We'll get you in. 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. All right. Hey, we got 20 minutes to go here. And again, little reminder, starting at 10 o'clock, we go for another 2 hours. And if you want to find us, well, find Waldo. What is it? You simply go to...
Waldo? I don't even have a Waldo that works for me.
You go to our website, lmclinic.com, push the podcast button on the top right of the page, and all 4 hours of where we broadcast and when we broadcast is listed out there for you. Mm-hmm. So you can listen for another 2 hours. And also, all of our past programs are there, so you can go back, have your parents, have a friend, anybody you think might want to listen, go back and listen at lmclinic.com. And by the way, I haven't talked about this for ages, but for those of you who have been hearing about Longevity Medical Clinic, maybe not just for months, but for decades now, and you want a little bit more, well, we've got some videos on our homepage, on our website, lmclinic.com. And quite frankly, they are very good. They will give you a wonderful sort of a foundation of the who, what, why, where, and when of Longevity Medical Clinic. Very good. For example, the main one is simply called Introduction to Longevity. Watch it. It's about 45 minutes long, but I assure you, about 95% of the people who start watching that finish it. And that's almost unheard of for videos online. But you will enjoy it. It's fascinating. All right. Let us go to David in Lake Wenatchee. Hi, David.
Good morning, David. I see that the Mayo Clinic is doing a study on senolytic therapy, and they're mm-hmm. giving 1,500 grams of Fisetin for 2 days in a row. Do you have any idea what the results are so far, and is it safe for me to replicate that? And also, in your therapy for senescence, what drugs and supplements are you using?
Okay. I'm also using one that was pioneered by Mayo Clinic. The one you're referring to, we're still waiting to get the final results of their studies. So I can't tell you what the safety, because I don't have published data on their adverse effects and so on yet. So, you know, when they publish, I'll read. Until then, I'm kind of stuck. The combination that has had the most papers published, and several of the studies had actually been done through the Mayo group, is desetanib, 100 milligrams daily for 3 days at a time, coupled with quercetin, 1,000 milligrams a day. And the longest study was 3 days each week for 3 weeks, which significantly reduces the SASPs. And that's the one that I'm using. I did my initial therapy with 100 of desetanib and 1,000 of quercetin for 3 days each week for 3 weeks. So I did, you know, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday each week for 3 weeks. And then next month I did just a single 3-day course. And then I've been doing 3-day course every other month since then. You know, you don't want to drop your senescent cell load too low. My goal is to knock it down, because I'm a guy in my 70s, and so statistically I'm going to have a much higher level. I'm trying to get it down by about 70%, but I want to maintain some senescent cells. Senescent cells, the good side of them is that they lower the risk of cancers. They put out anti-growth, anti-reproduction chemicals. And so to some modest degree, senescent cells decrease the risk of uncontrolled growth of tissues, which is basically what a cancer is. The problem we get with senescent cells is that while in our youth, our low level of senescence is protective, as we age, we start producing more senescent cells. As our body fat goes up, as our average blood sugar goes up, as our free radical levels in our bloodstream go up, all of these things increase the production of senescent cells. And senescent cells are putting out anti-growth chemicals, the SASPs, the senescence-associated secretory products, which is what we call the, what we abbreviate SASPs. They actually increase inflammation in our systems, and they prevent the normal reproduction of healthy tissues. So as our SASPs increase, they actually start triggering healthy cells to become senescent. So you kind of get a cascade effect. In a young person, senescent cells only exist for an average of about 2 days, 1.5 to 2.5 days. And within about 2 days of their production, the macrophages in your immune system come in, engulf the senescent cell, and destroy it. So while we are making senescent cells in our youth, our immune system is destroying them quite quickly. So we have a constant low level present in our tissues. As we age, senescent cells trigger the production of further senescent cells. So our production will increase 300 and 400%. And our immune response is slowing down. And instead of wiping these cells out in about 2 days, it takes about 2.5 weeks. So our levels grow much, much higher with aging because we're making them faster and we're clearing them much, much slower. And that combination results in high levels of SASPs. Okay. So I don't want to reduce them to zip, but I do want to get them down to a more youthful level, so that my healthy tissues are able to grow and reproduce and repair more efficiently.
Do you actually measure the SASPs?
You can measure some of them. The problem with SASPs is that they are not consistent. There is not one thing you can measure. There was one study by Mayo Clinic that looked at SASP levels in people with kidney failure. Okay, these were diabetics that were having decreased kidney function. And they put them on a three-day course of the same one I just described, the dasatinib and quercetin. And they found on average about a 70% reduction in SASPs. Here's the problem. They measured 12 different secretory products. And some of the products went down dramatically, some went down modestly, a few actually went up in a few patients. But like out of 9 patients, 2 of them actually had increases. So there is no one thing I can check. There are a series of things that can, and what you're looking for is the overall picture. And unfortunately, right now, if I want to run those dozen tests, I'm spending about $3,000 per laboratory adventure. Each time I want to run them, it's about a $3,000 pop. And it takes a couple of weeks to get the results back. So, and by the way, your insurance will not cover any of it because you aren't treating a disease. These are not improved by insurance companies. We're looking for basically research level sort of stuff. So, you know, unless you've got thousands of dollars to put into this every few months, you're not going to be able to track your SASP levels.
So what is it that you measure to monitor success?
I spent the money on me. Right. I make more than most folks, and this is more valuable to me to know. So, you know, I ran my levels. I'm just telling you that it's not something I can run on the average person because they don't have the resources nor the desire. So what we end up doing is doing what is usually effective and leaving it at that.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
It ain't nothing perfect in this world. And when you're on the cutting edge like this, it's way for quite a distance from perfect. We kind of have to settle for what we can get.
Hey, thanks, David. That was an excellent call. And let's just say this was one reason why you put together the video, which is available online, and we call it the two stages of aging, correct?
Yes.
Why don't you explain a little bit about that presentation?
Well, there's basically, I have divided the aging process into two different things. There is reproductive aging, which is what we have done since the 1990s at Longevity Medical Clinic. We look at the factors that are commonly declining as we age, and we restore as many of them to robust levels as we can. And that's things like 8 different hormone levels, inflammatory levels, glucose and insulin levels. So we take all of these things that are easy and readily measured, and we move them back to a healthy 25 to 30-year-old level, even if you're 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old. And what we have found is when we do that, and we couple that with a decent diet and a good exercise program and supplements that have science behind them instead of wishful thinking, we can accomplish a lot. People do better. They do get stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, and sexier. Success that, as far as that goes.
Stage one.
Unfortunately, eventually, time and gravity still win. And it turns out that one of the ways time and gravity have their way with us once we cross a certain age threshold, whether that's in your 50s, 60s, or 70s, at some point you start going downhill again, no matter what we do for our stage one therapies. And it turns out that that has to do with what we've just been talking about, the buildup of senescent cells in our system that started inhibiting the healing and the repair of our healthy cells. And so it's not either or. We do the stage one therapy. And then for people of a certain age that are not risk adverse, people like me that are a bit adventurous and willing to take some chances, then we add the senescent cell therapies on top of that. And that's our stage two aging interventions. So, reproductive aging, senescent aging, two very different processes, but if you live long enough, both of them hit you.
And that's for sure.
And so you need to intervene with them both at some point in your life.
And really, do you know of any other clinics that are doing the stage two?
No, not really. There are some people doing it as research. Obviously, Mayo Clinic is very big in this. Out of Florida. There is a group out of Florida that is starting to do this too. So there's two of us in the country, one on the East Coast and one on the West Coast that I'm aware of.
There you go. Only again that longevity. Just one of many reasons why you want to consider being a patient. And that is what the free health analysis appointment is all about. When you make an appointment, a free health analysis appointment, you're not making any commitments. It's free, for goodness sakes. The only purpose of the appointment is to give you the information you need. Then you can make a decision as it relates to whether you want to become a part of the membership here at Longevity. So makes really good sense if you ask me. Let's go to Puyallup and talk with Matthias. Matthias, welcome.
Hello. Good morning.
Hello, Matthias. Good morning, sir.
I'll try to make this brief and as least disgusting as possible. About 7-8 months ago, I'll be 58 this year. I start getting, not one after the other, but this really super long wave of nausea that would make me dizzy and really, you know, had to breathe through it. And, that started progressing. And now it's to that feeling you get when you need to urinate or empty your bowels. That no longer happens for me. I just get this feeling like I'm really, really sick, and nauseous, and I have pain in my upper stomach all the time, and I can't eat but maybe 2 or 3 bites at a time, and it feels like there's already something in my stomach. You have an idea what that might be?
Wow. A lot of ideas. Nothing firm enough I can make a diagnosis. I can tell you where I'd start looking because of your age and the changes in your bladder bowel function and your urgency or lack of urgency, I want somebody to take a quick look at your prostate and bladder, and that would be pretty fast and simple. They can do an ultrasound and see, have you empty your bladder, and then do an ultrasound and see if that bladder is really empty or not. It may be that you're getting enough prostatic hypertrophy that you're never really fully emptying your bladder. And that vagal response from the bladder stretch can cause nausea and abdominal discomfort. So that is one possibility for a man in your age group. The other thing, of course, is we want to see, since eating very small quantities makes you feel full, then I want to look at, do you have something like gastroparesis? Does your stomach not empty? You know, there's a peristalsis, this rhythmic contraction from the time you swallow your food that pushes the food down the esophagus into the stomach. The stomach then kind of churns and moves and then rhythmically contracts and pushes the food out of the stomach into the small bowel, etc. Some people with neurologic deficits, especially diabetics, are famous for having for losing the nerve function there. It's basically a neurologic disorder that diabetics are especially prone to, in which the stomach stops contracting properly, and the food just kind of sits there. And we call
really
that called gastroparesis. So, you know, are you someone that perhaps has an undiagnosed diabetes, or you've got elevated insulin resistance, or do you have a neurologic disorder?
That's really funny that you said that, because probably 2 years ago, I just happened to stop by a friend of mine's office, who's a physician's assistant, and she was saying some things. She goes, you know, I really, because I'm tall, I'm 6'5", and I'm probably 185, maybe I'm really thin.
Skinny.
And she said, you know, there is a type of diabetes that people are thin, and that's always been in the back of my mind after she said that, now that you said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, although there are other causes of these, you know, for these neurologic disorders. It's just they're very common in diabetics, usually not in skinny Caucasians.
Right.
If you were Chinese, I'd say a good shot at it.
Right.
Han Chinese, right. Which my wife is a Han Chinese, they, even when they're skinny, are very high risk for diabetes. It's a genetic difference in that ethnic group. Caucasians, not so much, though it can happen. So, you know, what you need at your point is to find somebody to really start doing some investigating. We need to look at your esophagus. We need to look at your stomach. We need to look at your prostate and your bladder. You know, you need upper GI and probably lower GI studies, as well as some rapid imaging of the prostate. So I'd start with that.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, sir. Take care. Bye-bye.
Boy, you had a wide variety of calls today.
We have. Boy, it's been a little bit wild.
Totally around the barn here. So that's so good. Top to bottom. So there you go. Folks, thank you for being with us today. Just a quick reminder, this show is designed basically to encourage you, obviously answer questions. But for those of you who are starting to realize that there's never been a better time to really get serious about your health, that's what longevity is all about. In fact, Jerry, it's interesting, as we study and as you study what's happening around the country, around the world, there is an increase in people are starting to realize, yes, supplement sales are way up, all kinds of do-it-yourself health-oriented products.
Well, for one thing, COVID has made it very clear that your overall health has a big impact on whether or not you die from this virus.
Right. Anyway, building your immune system is pretty critical, and what we concentrate here, obviously, at Longevity. Why don't you grab one of those free health analysis appointments? I'm serious. They're free. You get the two free tests, the blood test and the special in-body test, and $100 of Longevity supplements. Or you can choose the two fitness books and the fitness bands. Again, a free health analysis appointment available at lmclinic.com.
And this is why I focus so much on stories that I get from public disclosure requests.
When you want to keep listening but won't be near a radio, take Jason Rance with you. Download the AM770 KTTH app in your Apple or Android app store or at ktth.com. Whether you're on vacation, a long business trip, or just having some signal issues, listen to the live stream or download our shows on demand. Read the latest news from your favorite conservative host. The AM770 KTTH app, where you listen to conservative talk radio anytime, anywhere.